Welcome in, everybody, to this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What a crazy news Monday on March 4th. Did not expect today to be a day with so many headlines that the Eagles are involved in, as they actually were. So we're going to get into all of it today. I planned on really making this podcast just a shrine to Nick Foles, as the report yesterday came in from Adam Schefter and a bunch of other NFL insiders that Nick Foles is pretty much set to be a Jacksonville Jaguar March 13th when free agency opens. And not really surprising to me, I've been kind of saying for a couple months now that Jacksonville made the most sense. So I'll kind of get into that. I want to save the Nick Foles talk for an entire podcast, because I got so much to get into with that as like one last, you know, real big thing about Foles before, who knows, maybe he comes back and they retire his number, have some sort of ceremony for the Super Bowl championship in 2017, you know, a reunion of sorts. So we can kind of take a trip down memory lane later on in the offseason. I think once he signs with Jacksonville, I'll kind of go into that, because there's a lot of stuff I want to get into about Foles and the impact he had on the city and, you know, his potential prospects in Jacksonville now, because it might have been Jaguars or bust for him. So that's what I planned on doing today. But then suddenly the Eagles had like six big stories that are very relevant to what's going on this offseason. There's a lot of questions. And so, you know, we're going to get through it all on today's Locked On Eagles podcast. If you missed any of our recent pods, you can always check them out on LockedOnEagles.com or any podcast platform that you listen to our show. Or just tell your smartphone, your smart device, to play the Locked On Eagles podcast, and you'll hear my voice, you'll hear Gino Camilleri, or one of our other co-hosts, Lars Lewis. So, got a lot of stuff cranking out for you on the offseason. Also, wrote an interesting article, I think, for you guys last night about the development of Josh Sweat and Jordan Mailata, and how, you know, depending on what the Eagles do, when they take an edge rusher, when they take an offensive lineman, it could be telling about their belief in the development of those two raw prospects that they took in last year's draft. So got that as well on LockedOnEagles.com. As for today, got a lot of news to crank out. Some rumors, some reports. Rumors and reports, that's what we're going to do today on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So first off, no Carson Wentz contract extension expected this offseason, and I don't really have much to say on that. I think it was pretty clear that the Eagles are going to try to milk this rookie contract of Carson Wentz for as long as possible. Having an elite quarterback, and yes, I say Carson Wentz is an elite quarterback, having Wentz on an elite quarterback on a rookie contract for another year, potentially two. I don't think they're going to do that to him with the fifth-year option, but, you know, having him on such a cheap deal for just, what, $7-8 million? I forget what the exact cap hit is, but it's not much, ladies and gentlemen. And having a guy of that caliber on that cheap of a contract while you can surround him with talent, you got to milk that for as long as you can until you get him that big contract extension. And I think that'll come probably next offseason. The injury, I'm sure, had a lot to do with it. I'm sure for Wentz as well. I think Wentz right now is not at his highest value. I think he's going to hope to have a season similar to 2017 and then come back to Howie Roseman and the Eagles and be like, all right, let's do this. Let's make me the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, which he will be when he signs that contract. So, you know, Howie Roseman, more power to him, giving out contract extensions around the roster to, you know, just keep milking this, you know, cheap rookie contract that a lot of teams are trying to strategically build their team in this way. Invest in a young quarterback of the future, hope that he takes a big step during that rookie contract, and build like heck around him, right? We're seeing that with the Chiefs. We're seeing that with the Rams. We're seeing that with the Eagles. I think teams like the Buffalo Bills are going to try to emulate this, the New York Jets. So I'm not surprised by the news that Carson Wentz will not get a contract extension, or at least not expected to, this year. I think it's smart for both sides to hold off until the 2020 offseason. Other news, Antonio Brown not expected to have any interest from the Eagles. I'm sure he would have interest in Philadelphia. The Eagles are not going to have any interest in Antonio Brown. I think that's smart for the amount of money he's going to be making, for the amount of money he might want, for the target share that he's not going to get, that he's used to. I just think there's just too much baggage with Antonio Brown. Don't get me wrong. I think him on the field in general would be electric with Carson Wentz in this offense. But, you know, he can blame Big Ben all he wants. I agree that Big Ben is a concern in him in his own right. I think he is a problem in that Pittsburgh locker room, and not a lot of people talk about it. It's more so about Antonio Brown. But at the same time, I've seen plenty of crazy outbursts from Antonio Brown, him ghosting the Steelers week 17, even hearing the story about it, about how Tomlin said that, you know, you don't need to be here if you want more rest. While I get Antonio Brown's, you know, concerns, you know, ghosting your teammates when they're on the cusp of making the playoffs with a win and you're one of their more important players, and I get you want to maybe show them and stick it to them and say, yeah, I'm one of your more important players. That's a big egotistical move. It's a move that I think some, you know, I'm for player freedom. I'm for player power. It's why I'm not a guy that questions what Le'Veon Bell did this past year. But at the same time, doing something like that, I think more so has to do with Antonio Brown just caring more about him than his team. And maybe even if you're not doing it for your coaches or the front office, you know, do it for your teammates. It's not like Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown got his contract, and he's going to get another one. So, yeah, I wasn't really ever into Antonio Brown for, you know, the role he would have anyway. He's not going to be someone the Eagles give 13 receptions every single game. So for the amount of money and the potential baggage, he would be electric on this offense. But I'm kind of glad they're not going to go in that route, especially with what you'd have to give up compensation-wise. Like, if you're going to, I would rather just pay Le'Veon Bell, you know, $4 million more than give Antonio Brown $13-plus million and give away a potential, you know, second-round pick and maybe Nelson Aguilar. I'm not willing to do that. No way, not for a guy that's already in his 30s. Other news around the Eagles today on this Monday mania, if you will. Tim Jernigan, they're not expected to pick up his options, so that's going to free up about $7 million and clear up total, I think it's going to be $11 million of cap space, but again, like, there's just so many ways. I'm not going to be one of those people that writes an article updating you on the cap because, first off, I don't think any of the websites are 100% accurate. Even the NFLPA website just doesn't seem right when you talk about how much money the Eagles actually have. And just there's so many ways where you're like, oh, they only have $11 million to spend. Like, that's just not true. You can use, you know, any year of the future of that salary cap, right? You can backload contracts. You can front load. So, but at the same time, though, getting rid of Jernigan and that big cap hit, I do think that was the smart move. I think it was a great trade. I thought he did a lot for them last year and the year before. He had 2 sacks in the playoffs last year when he got healthy. And while the Eagles are going to be extremely thin at defensive tackle now, they could not keep Jernigan on that cap hit. No way. Hopefully, maybe he could consider coming back on a lower deal. But I think Jernigan's probably gone. Even with the injury last year, he's not at as high as his highest value. But for a guy that's still really young, has pass rush ability at the defensive tackle position, which is very important and it's very valued in NFL circles, you know, having guys like Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald. Mike Mayock had a really interesting quote at the Combine this week saying that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks hate the pass rush up the middle more than around the sides because it disrupts you more in the pocket. You can't step up. It hurts your footwork. And having a guy like Jernigan, I think a team in the open market with a lot of cap space to spend that needs an interior pass rusher is still going to give him a pretty sizable contract that the Eagles are not going to want to match. And, you know, I think he's most likely gone. I still think he's going to get a pretty decent contract next year. So still a great trade. They got him for peanuts, really, from Baltimore. And it's just another move where Howie took advantage of a team that had a young player that was talented, that had a proven track record on the field in the pros, and he fell out of favor more so because of scheme fit or because of quote-unquote off-the-field impacts, and I think that's what Tim Jernigan was. And even though they only got 2 years out of him, I thought it was two really productive years despite the injury last year, and I thought it was definitely worth the trade. And, you know, hopefully we don't see the last of Tim Jernigan, but if it is, this, again, makes the defensive tackle position probably the Eagles' biggest need with Fletcher Cox. As long as Jason Peters comes back, I think defensive tackle is a priority over left tackle, over probably running back, over another receiver, even another edge rusher. I think getting a guy to replace Tim Jernigan is going to be big. The good thing is there's a lot of good free agents. There is a extremely deep class of interior defensive linemen in this draft, so I think the Eagles are really planning on going in that route, and I think that's why you see them okay with letting Jernigan go. Other news, Isaac Seumalo signs a 3-year contract extension that extends his tenure in Philadelphia through the year of 2022. Love this move as well. Keep another one of your core guys, right? This is 4/5 now of your offensive line that is locked up. Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelsey, and now Isaac Seumalo. We'll again see what happens with Jason Peters, but at 25 years old, this was a great move to keep one of your younger players. The Eagles have a great balance right now, I think, of young players, of players smack dab in the middle of their prime, and then older guys. You know, you look at the young core pieces in your starting lineup, Isaac Seumalo, Carson Wentz, Dallas Goedert, Nelson Aguilar, Corey Clement. On defense, you got Derek Barnett. You have your pretty much your entire cornerback group of Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, Avante Maddox, Cravion LeBlanc, and Jalen Mills. So you got all those guys. You got your guys in your prime like Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod and Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, right? Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson. And then you got the older guys, right? And I think Jason Kelce should be put in that prime position as well. And then some of the older guys that are still highly productive, Brandon Graham, Michael Bennett. I forgot to say Fletcher Cox, by the way, in his prime, I think, and that is probably the most important guy. And you have Jason Peters still in the older group, Darren Sproles from last year. We'll see if he's back. This team has a lot of balance, and that's why I think this team is not going away anytime soon. And keeping a guy like Seumalo that really meshed well with this offensive line down the stretch last year, again, with how good that offensive line played those final 8 weeks of the season and then the two games in the playoffs, Seumalo was a big part of that at left guard. And they benched Wisniewski despite having a couple really good games. When they went back to Isaac Seumalo, it was an unpopular opinion or position. And look, Wiz was the starting left guard when they won the Super Bowl. He was part of that offensive line that just mowed through the playoffs, and that unit just looked elite. I've never seen a unit play so together and just so on fire. And yet the Eagles believed in Seumalo's development. They took him in the third round for a reason in 2016. He's been versatile. He's played tackle. He's played guard. He's played center. And they really wanted to lock that up. And it paid off when they put him back in over Wiz, because Seumalo was really good last year. So I think keeping a 25-year-old that he had his ups and downs, but a guy that has room to grow compared to someone like Wiz, who's in his 30s already, no-brainer here. And again, who knows if he'll be just the future left guard that they have locked down right now, or if he'll eventually take over for Jason Kelce at center. But either way, I think Seumalo coming back was a great move for Philadelphia. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get into some of the trade rumors now that have to do with Michael Bennett and Duke Johnson. That's right, we'll get into it next. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Monday mashup edition of the show, as there's just so much news to get to. So I got into Carson Wentz the first segment, Antonio Brown, Tim Jernigan, Isaac Seumalo, just trying to pack this all in for you so you're all caught up on your Eagles news from Monday. As the Combine wraps up, we're going to get into our recap of the Combine, some of the winners, some of the losers, guys to watch out for, who the Eagles met with. You know, that's what's cool about Combine Week. Not only is just watching it on TV, but it's the fact that you get all these headlines, right? The potential trade rumors for the guys I'm going to get into in a bit. The Tim Jernigan news, Isaac Seumalo, Carson Wentz, the Brandon Graham extension, Jason Kelce getting extended over the weekend, which was another awesome move to just lock up this core. Kelce has just been getting better with age, and he still, to me, seems like a guy that's not slowing down at all and is, outside of Carson Wentz, the most important piece, I would say, of the offense, truthfully. I think he runs what Doug Peterson wants in the offense more so. He is more intricate to that plan than anybody. So I really like that move as well, and I guess it freed up cap space. But it's cool to have everyone in Indianapolis, because you just get more rumors, you get more news, and you know, it's really kicking the off season. It's really kicking it off. So a lot of stuff that we're getting into. And here in the second segment, we're going to get into now Michael Bennett. Apparently, the Eagles in Indianapolis, you know, this is the only time where all 32 teams are in the same building. Apparently, they talked with a couple teams, several teams, about the availability of Michael Bennett. And I'm not sure how you guys feel, but, you know, he is 33 years old. He has a $7.2 million cap hit. I'm just not into getting rid of him. Outside of Fletcher Cox, I thought Michael Bennett last year was the Eagles' most efficient pass rusher from weeks one to that final game in New Orleans in the divisional round. Michael Bennett was consistently dominant. He had 9.5 sacks last season, and really $7.2 million isn't that much for his contributions. So you already have $11 million in cap space this year, and that's not even an official number. You could have 17 by cutting Chris Long. Like, I'd much rather have Michael, if you're deciding between the two, I'd much rather have Michael Bennett at 7.2 than Chris Long at 5.6. for the way Michael Bennett produced last year. Like, I thought Chris Long was great last year, too. He had 6.5 sacks in his own right, but I think Michael Bennett, with his versatility as well, being someone that you can play at defensive tackle, especially in those third-down pass-rushing situations, I think he's way more valuable than what you're going to get for him. Okay, if the Eagles are getting a third-round pick, like, I'm in. Let's do it. But for a 33-year-old defensive end, I'm not in. Look, I still think he can play. That's why I want to keep him for at least another year. But, you know, you're probably going to get, at the most, you might be able to stretch out a fourth-round pick, but you know, you might get a fifth rounder, which is what you traded for him to Seattle last year, on top of Eagles legend Marcus Johnson. So I'm not for trading away Michael Bennett. I don't think you're getting enough value for what he provides on the field. I think what he provides on the field is so much more valuable than $7 million in cap space this year, when they're already going to have money and the flexibility to do other things. And, you know, if they do decide, maybe they're going all in. Maybe they're trying to sign a big fish this free agency, and they're cutting both Chris Long and Michael Bennett, which would free up about, let's see, 7.2 and 5.6. So that's about, let's do some math now, ladies and gentlemen, 12.8 million in cap space, which would get you to, let's see, 23 million in open cap space this year. Maybe they're going after a Le'Veon Bell. I doubt it, considering what we're going to get into next, but maybe they're trying to go young at the position, right? Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat. Maybe then you're going to pair up Brandon Graham in those three, in those other two as well, with a rookie in the first or the second round. You got two picks in the second round. So I get that idea if you have other ideas of what you want with this money in free agency. But I think Michael Bennett is still at the top of his game, and I'm not willing to give up on somebody just because he's over 30 years old. I think after another year, then it might be a good time to move on. But you can still draft a guy, too, if you keep Michael Bennett. Like, go with Michael Bennett, Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, and then a rookie with Josh Sweat as that fifth guy that you keep on the roster, and hope that he develops, or that rookie, into eventually someone. I mean, they both can develop, too. That's the thing. Josh Sweat, you're not even, you can have the best of all these worlds by keeping Bennett and keeping Sweat and drafting a guy, because eventually Bennett and Graham aren't going to be in Philadelphia, and you know, even Brandon Graham, I think, still at the top of his game, but he's 31 as well. So maybe after this contract runs out for Brandon Graham, at least you have that future set with Derek Barnett, a rookie that hopefully pans out, and maybe Josh Sweat becomes that guy. So I think keeping Michael Bennett still gives you a lot of options. I don't think it holds you back from doing anything. But if you really do believe in Josh Sweat and you have your eyes on a rookie or a free agent, then I guess I understand it. But I'm not someone that's really eager to get rid of him when there's other ways to free up cap space. And considering what their plan might be in free agency anyway, they're not going to need a whole lot of money. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, the Eagles apparently are interested in trading for Browns running back Duke Johnson. I'm really going to get into this one. I'm very excited about this potential with this rumor. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, let's get into this trade rumor now. The Eagles, and this is from, I think it's Andy Slater, right? Let me just confirm. Yeah. So Duke Johnson, the Cleveland Browns running back, is on the trade block, it seems, by the Cleveland Browns. And it looks like the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, which I hope that doesn't happen, are both interested in trading for the versatile running back. I absolutely love this idea. I really do. You guys hear me talking about running backs a lot this year. I'm really invested in the Eagles addressing that position. I like some of the prospects in this draft. I actually like a lot of prospects in this draft, more so than I think other people do. And I think the free agent class has some interesting options as well, and so does the trade market. And Duke Johnson is one of those. I'm in on this. And it's not someone that's going to be that RB1 that I've mentioned a lot. But at the same time, if you're going to still go by a committee, which most teams in the league do, you got to add talent to that committee. You got to add do-it-all running backs, and I think that's what Duke Johnson really provides. He is the typical Howie Roseman trade. Trading for Duke Johnson is the typical Howie Roseman trade, right? This is a guy that's only 25 years old. He fell out of favor with the team, not really because of talent, right? It has to do with outside factors that the Eagles are good with in acquiring him. The reasons they're not into Duke Johnson seemingly anymore is that Nick Chubb emerged last year, coming out of Georgia in the second round, was their lead rusher, and then they signed Kareem Hunt. And while Hunt might get suspended this year, mark that, change that, he will get suspended this year, he's still one of the more talented young running backs in the league, while what he did off the field is terrible, and I think that goes without saying. Having those two as your 1-2 punch makes a guy like Duke Johnson, after a contract extension, it makes him expendable. And I think, again, this is what Howie does, right? He buys low and he sells high. And this is a buy low option on a, like, again, this isn't, Howie doesn't do moves where he's just trading for, you know, Michael Bennett was an instance where he traded for an older guy. But when Howie Roseman takes risks, they're not crazy risks, right? They're young players. And that's what I really admire about what Howie does. Like, he's not just trading for big names. Like, he's not doing what Washington does, right? Where they sign an 80-year-old Deion Sanders and an 80-year-old Adrian Peterson and an 80-year-old Bruce Smith, right? That's what Washington does all of the time. It's just typical Washington Redskins. That's not the Eagles. Like, it's a different mentality of aggression. They're going after a Tim Jernigan. Is in his mid-20s. Jay Ajayi, mid-20s. Ajayi's only 25 years old. Ronald Darby was only in his third year when the Eagles traded for him. Those are players that are young, but at the same time, they have proven that they can play at this level, and that's exactly what Duke Johnson is once again, and he's for cheap. His cap hits, per my co-host Gino Camilleri, next year, 3.05. It increases to 4.85 in 2020 and then 5.9 in 2021. He got a 3-year contract extension this summer worth around $5 million a year if they kept it even per year, because the Browns believed in him. They gave him a 3-year deal up to $15 million because before Nick Chubb emerged and they signed Kareem Hunt, Duke Johnson was a big part of this offense. He is a do-it-all type of player that's not making nearly anything. It's just another guy that they can get for cheap in the backfield, a player that is a significant upgrade over Darren Sproles. This is a player that's way more reliable as a runner. The way you can use him as a receiver is on another level. You know, he made plays in the slot. His route tree is so much more advanced. I was watching some highlights of his, just seeing plays he's making 40 yards down the field from the slot. He's making contested catches. You know, this guy's 5'9", 210 pounds. He's not some scat back. Darren Sproles is 5'6". Sproles can make a big impact in the passing game as well, but not to the level of Duke Johnson. He can't do the things that Duke Johnson can. And Johnson's not just this guy that's going to be a Sproles-type back. He is someone that, to me, can be a part of a rotation. I think the ideal scenario is the Eagles draft a rookie. I hope it's Josh Jacobs, but maybe it's in the second round, a Daryl Henderson or a Devin Singletary, David Montgomery. Maybe they wait and take a Bruce Anderson or a Miles Sanders or a Justice Hill. You pair up that rookie with Duke Johnson and Corey Clement, and you go. And then maybe Josh Adams is stashed away as your fourth running back. I'm all in on that idea. I think Duke Johnson is a much better option than TJ Yeldon or Carlos Hyde, or even Jordan Howard's another guy on the trade block, right? I think out of the three guys that are available for trade between Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde, and Jordan Howard, I think Duke Johnson's the guy I would much rather prefer. You know, at 5'9", a lot of the backs, so for instance, LeSean McCoy's 5'11", Christian McCaffrey's 5'11". Duke Johnson's 5'9". He's not the biggest running back, but he's certainly not Darren Sproles. This is a player that on third down, he can run the football too. He is not going to be this predictable back that Darren Sproles was. And if you can get a rotation of unpredictable players like Duke Johnson, Corey Clement, and a rookie that can do it all, like, that is so ideal. I don't know what the market's going to be. The Cowboys are interested too, so hopefully that doesn't shoot up the price. But the Browns need offensive line help on the interior, per CBS Sports. Maybe you give them, after the Isaac Seumalo extension, you give them Wisniewski and a fifth for Duke Johnson. Or maybe it doesn't even take that much. Maybe it just takes Wiz. Or Wiz in a 7. I think that would be a great move. He's extended for 3 years, and he could be a part of your future in the backfield. And again, he's young. He's another young guy that you're adding to this core. I talked about the nice balance that the Eagles have on this roster earlier in the show. Duke Johnson adds just another mid-20s player that can mold into a significant role in this offense with Carson Wentz in the future. I love that idea with Goddard being young, and Aguilar and Duke Johnson and a rookie, hopefully, and Corey Clement. On top of prime players like Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey, I love the idea. Just some stats to run off from Duke Johnson. Had 74 catches in 2017. 74. Like, that's, we see what these kind of backs can do for offenses in Alvin Kamara and, you know, Todd Gurley, David Johnson. So even James White had, what, 80 catches this year for New England? And then last year, Duke Johnson had 47 in a trio of running backs with him, Carlos Hyde, and Nick Chubb to share with. He averaged 5 yards. He doesn't get a lot of carries, but when he does run the football, extremely efficient. Averaged 5 yards per carry last year, 4.2 in 2017, and 4.9 in 2016. Again, he's only 25, and this is just a typical Howie Roseman move. I would be all in on Howie Roseman. My dream would be Josh Jacobs, Duke Johnson, and Corey Clement. Like, let's roll with that. Let's roll with a rookie. Let's go with Duke Johnson, and let's go with Corey Clement. Or maybe they decide to pretty much pass on every running back in the draft and address other positions, and they go with a Tevin Coleman, Duke Johnson, and Corey Clement. There's just so many options, and I think Duke Johnson's one of the more popular. I think he fits in this offense way better with the screen game Doug Peterson loves to utilize, with the way they like to use guys like Darren Sproles. They love versatility. They like to use their running backs in the passing game. They just haven't had a lot of guys that can do it and that can do everything, right? So I think Duke Johnson is a great fit over a guy like Carlos Hyde or a Jordan Howard. So I am all in on Duke Johnson to Philadelphia. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on another edition of Locked On Eagles. Had a lot of fun with this one. A lot of content, a lot of stuff to talk about. This is why I love the offseason. I am a sucker for speculation, and that's what we got into today. Please subscribe to the show, on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to the show. We hope you review the show. Hopefully, 5-star review if you like the show as well. We appreciate all the listener feedback. Please follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Been producing some good written content as well. LockedOnEagles.com if you're bored and want to read some content. Got some stuff up on the mothership as well. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds, baby!